And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's a gorgeous day outside. Sometimes when I peruse through the Psalms in the Old Testament, I kind of have this mental image or picture that David's outside all the time. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. So when you're outside, you're right there with God's creation. It's beautiful. All right, let me give you the number of the station right here. The phone number is 903-589-8507. Well, I've got a topic that I want to share with you this morning. Now, when I use this individual as an example, I'm not going to give them the name male or female, but I had an individual tell me the other day, and they were just saying this like as a matter of fact. They were saying that they never drink water. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, and they said, for example, I did a two-day fast, but I drank no water while I did it, and I thought to myself, that's just unbelievable. How could a person survive? Now, the solution was that Coca-Cola and whiskey was perfectly fine. I thought to myself, man, that's just crazy. Okay, so I came across a study right here. I don't know if you'll find it interesting or not, but there's a lot of implications to it. But there's a lot of people that are trying to lose weight, and they'll try so many things, but they may not quite be hitting the nail on the head. Well, there's a study. Where did I find this? Oh, okay, this comes from Virginia Tech. I can't remember if that's, what's the name of the town? Blacksburg, I think, right there on the highway. Anyway, Virginia Tech. And they're saying they've discovered a way to lose extra weight. Well, lo and behold, they say before you either eat breakfast or lunch or supper, if you drink 2 glasses of water, then the speed with which you'll lose weight increases by 44%. Now, the 44% is a relative number, and I'll cover that with you, but, I mean, come on, 44%. I'll take it. So, nutrition experts for years have been saying that people who want to lose weight, they should drink water instead of other so-called fluids, and that would be things like Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Diet Coke, you know, all that stuff. But to make a long story short, there's some things that if you drink them, they will sabotage the body. Well, water does not do that. So this advice about drinking water before you have a meal is going to come from the idea that people who mainly drink water when they're thirsty, well, they demonstrate that they are thinner than people that go for soft drinks or juice. I mean, that's not rocket science. Sometimes I will stand in the checkout line just because everything else is full at the grocery store, and I will observe people when they pull out their food stamp plastic, you know, charge card, you know, where the government pays for the groceries. I don't think once I have ever seen water in the basket. Nor broccoli, as you may have heard me talk about. But I've seen a whole bunch of stuff that I thought, well, there's no way that that junk food could be good for them. Actually, the junk food probably helps continue the cycle of endless pain and suffering and anxiety and disability. Okay, so here's what the study shows. The more water that you drink, the more fat that you burn. And this other part's interesting also. This might be a side note, but to me, I'm kind of interested in studying this more, even though I couldn't find it right now, but I'll keep looking until I find it. They say that when you drink adequate water or optimal levels of water, your body does much better with its protein. Okay? You want to be able to preserve your proteins as you age. As you age, it becomes much harder to get enough protein. Haven't you ever seen a person who's maybe a little bit older, but every time they choose foods, it's just carbohydrates. They're lacking protein. Well, they're just setting themselves up for becoming progressively weaker and more disabled and loss of balance. We don't want that. I guess my main takeaway right now is you become more efficient at energy production when you drink water. I mean, that's not really that hard to understand, is it? So they've been saying for years in studies that water, it has a definite slimming effect, and it helps It helps change the visual composition of your body to make it look more appealing. Well, there hasn't really been a study on that until right now. So the researchers at Virginia Tech, they kind of have come up with the evidence that kind of supports the claim that if you drink water, not only will you become slimmer, it'll help change the composition of your body, but also helps your body more efficiently utilize and manufacture energy production. Folks, I know this sounds simple, but your body has got to have energy if you want to make all the systems work right. If you'd like a recipe for developing a disease, I'd say low energy is the way to do that. I think I mentioned about a month ago, what does your body need in order to grow cancer cells? Well, it needs low energy. That'll do it. Okay, so it's not good to be low in energy, right? Okay, here's a study right here. The researchers put 48 subjects, and they were aged 55 to 75 years of age, and they put them on a low-calorie diet for 12 weeks because they were trying to induce weight loss. So half of the test subjects, they drank 500 milliliters of water before each meal, and you're probably thinking, what is 500 milliliters of water? Well, I'm looking at my bottle of water right now, and it says it's 500 milliliters. If I convert the milliliters to ounces, that's 16.9. So that's all they did. They had half of this group only drink a bottle of water before each meal. How hard is that? That's like super easy. Especially in your mind, if you start telling yourself, I am going to feel better, perform better, have more energy, and I'm going to change the composition of my body. Or maybe you'll say it this way, I'm going to try to keep myself in great working order and maintain my health. Okay, so after 12 weeks, the subjects who had had the extra water before they had the meal, they lost about 2 kilograms more weight. That's roughly 4.5 pounds, give or take. So that's the equivalent of a 44% increase in weight loss compared to those that did not drink water. Now, I realize that number may not sound impressive, but you know, that's, 18 pounds a year just by drinking water. Now, if that's not significant enough for you, then skip it. Don't drink water. Drink Diet Coke. And what'll happen is you're going to gain weight. All the studies show that if you utilize diet beverages, it's just so counterproductive. The artificial sweetener in it is just about one of the most toxic things that I believe you could introduce to the human body. When I say toxic, is it the same as strychnine or arsenic or, you know, poison? Well, maybe not. But if you do it, it's going to very subtly and surely wreck your immune system over time. Oh, it's just horrible. Okay, they have a table above which shows, you can't see the table I'm looking at, that the non-water group lost 3.5 kilograms of fat. In the water group, they lost 5.4 kilograms. So, I'm going to borrow Randy's calculator. So, here it is right here. 5.4 kilograms times 2.2. Okay, that's what they did. They lost 12 pounds. That's basically they lost a pound of fat a week. Okay, you okay with that? So, just by drinking water. Now, wouldn't that be just an easy thing to do? You know, I've told you this before, but when I've looked at the research or the studies on the effectiveness of the ultra super triple platinum plan from Weight Watchers, what is it? They lose an average of 1.2 pounds a month if you buy into all their programs and take all their supplements. Well, folks, this is basically a pound a week. You just beat it. Multiply that by 4. You lose 4 times as much weight if you just drink water before breakfast and water before lunch and water before supper. 16.9 ounces. Now, is that hard? I hate to say this, but for some people, it's nearly impossible. They're repulsed by water. They just can't take it. They've got to have something sugary, syrupy, sweet. I don't get that. But you know what? The manufacturers of these soft drinks, oh my goodness, whether you say lobbyist or it's all about money. You realize how much money they make by getting the ability to purchase soft drinks on the food stamp card? Anyway, that makes me, it just makes me sick. So basically, those are what the numbers show. They lost essentially, it was really 11.88 pounds over 12 weeks. So you can see why I'd want to round that up. Okay, they're just saying the net result is you're going to break down more body fat and lose more weight. Okay, if somebody wants to call, there's a phone line open. Good morning and welcome to the program.
They're just saying the net result is you're going
to... You'll have to turn the radio off.
Okay, well, I'll walk out of there. I'm sorry.
There you go. That's all right.
Yes, couple things. Number one, if you want to drink healthy amounts of water, you know, like sometimes they say so many ounces per pound. Is there a set thing for just an individual to drink healthy amounts of water per day?
Yeah, if everything's going well in their body, and I guess what I'm thinking about in my mind is, do they have plenty of sodium, potassium, chloride? So you know as well as I do that if you did like a comprehensive metabolic panel and they measure your electrolytes and they're in a good range, then yeah, a half an ounce per pound in body weight is going to work. Now, if the electrolytes were low, that's where salt comes in handy and maybe a modification of the diet. So some people, they might have to put like a pinch of salt in their bottle of water just to be able to hold the water in the body. I do believe, because I see this every day, that if somebody is low in sodium, what's going to happen is every time they drink water, it's just going to shoot right through their body. Meaning if they drink water, within 30 minutes they're running to the bathroom and they're going, why is it that it's just running right through me? So that's a different consideration. But for the average person... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it would be like Himalayan salt or healthy salt, correct?
Yeah, and what you're doing is you're trying to look for a natural, unprocessed sea salt that's relatively non-toxic and clean. Now, personally, I have always used Redmond's sea salt, but somebody sent me a study saying that it may be toxic, and I have not been able to verify the accuracy of the study, so I don't know. But if you get like an unprocessed... Now, usually the pink Himalayan sea salt... They do have quite a few studies where they've examined Himalayan sea salt that comes from either India or especially Pakistan. If it comes from China, it's usually heavily contaminated with toxic heavy metals. And so when I say a heavy metal, I'm talking about stuff maybe like lead or arsenic. You know, things that just probably are not going to be good for the body if you get a lot of it. Correct. I think the other two countries that kind of surprised me, when they said they tested salt that came from Germany and Poland, I always think of Poland as being such a great country, super clean, very industrious, super, super hard workers. I think if there had to be one country that I would move to in Europe, it'd probably be Poland, hands down. So, but even those, if you get pink Himalayan salt that comes from either Germany or Poland, that also has been shown to have a considerable amount of heavy metal contamination. So if you were to go online, you could look up salts that have been tested to be clean. Now, usually Redmond sea salt tests really well. So this new report that comes out, I don't know that I've really researched enough where I can make a great comment.
Right.
But they have a lot of companies, like companies that come from Iceland, where they're producing high-quality salts that have been shown to be very clean.
Very good. Also, I actually called you yesterday, and I'm going to see you May 20th, and I lied to you. We saw you back in December of 21 and January 6th of 22. You need to look at records. But... I also have another question. Milk allergies. I'll eat a slice of cheese and I get a cluster headache in the middle of my head. So I have not eaten any dairy products probably in 3 or 4 years. Is there a way to muscle test for a specific things in milk? And maybe I could, you know, we could see if goat milk or if it's the case. And
oh, yeah, that's easy right there. Let's go backwards one point. There is a very large organ that resides in the human body. It's called the liver. I'm not saying it weighs more than what the skin does or what the muscles do, but let's just say it is one of the most important filters of the body. If you say, is it involved in detoxification, I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. I usually find myself talking to women about that have hormone issues, that the liver is actually the most important organ if you want to keep your hormones in good balance. I mean, it plays a role, a powerful role. But the other thing that the liver does that I find very interesting, so I'm kind of making a joke with you when I say this. So if you eat an egg, if you have scrambled eggs for breakfast with a goat cheese on them, what is going to prevent you from turning into a chicken or a goat because you're eating goat protein and egg protein? Well, that's your liver. Your liver has this incredible capacity to kind of humanize everything that you make, and it can turn into male protein, male meaning you, not the male that comes from the postman. And so your liver's one of the keys to that. So I would say there's a very distinct relationship between what I'm going to call the liver and the gut. And so you may remember from studying human anatomy that if you have scrambled eggs for breakfast and avocado, the very first organ system that travels to be processed is the liver. So the liver's a unique organ in that it can actually rejuvenate itself. Like if you had a car wreck and half of it was torn away, you can just grow it right back again. I don't know many organs that can do that. But it gets first shot at all the nutrients that you put in the body. And so between the gut and the liver and then a gland that I'm going to call the thymus gland, that's probably what does more to tell your body, I don't like milk or I'm going to overreact. So the idea of an allergy, there can be everything from a mild one to a moderate one, but it sounds like yours is severe in that cluster headaches. So if you have a cluster headache following eating cheese, I mean, dude, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Those are the worst headaches of all time.
Yeah, especially since I love pizza. Used to love pizza.
Well, can you have goat cheese pizza?
Yeah, I haven't tried, and we'll talk about that at my appointment.
Well, the two proteins that are found in milk that comes from a dairy cow is going to be lactalbumin and then casein or casein. And so those are the ones that seem to be the triggers, and there's a lot of reasons why, but I guess when I brought up the liver, what I'm suggesting is if I had to choose one organ that is so overworked because we're living on a toxic planet, could you imagine what this would be like if you and I woke up this morning and we woke up in the Garden of Eden?
Oh, glorious.
Yeah. And so we'd go over to the tree, and not the tree of life or the knowledge of good and evil. We'd take a tree that was acceptable, but if we ate it, it would be like a mouthful of water and nutrients, wouldn't it?
Yes.
See, that's another way to get water. Like if somebody eats clean cucumbers from their garden, they're getting water from that. Anyway, so those are some of the things that I would look at.
Okay. Yeah, and I told you I've got like 4 marble-sized gallstones, so that's probably...
You mean the regular, like a regular-sized marble?
I think so. Well, I'll show you my x-ray when I get there. But
yeah, well, that's what we want. Is we want your body just to have the ability to dissolve it, break it down, break them apart, where they can just pass quietly without any fanfare, where you don't even know they're being passed.
Yes, that would be nice.
I had a patient pass a kidney stone this week, but I guarantee you she noticed every square inch of it. It was not a pleasant experience for her.
Yeah, I do that about every 6 months, kidney stones as well. I'm a stone factory, I guess.
Well, I'm curious. I'm curious. You don't by chance use stevia, do you?
No. Okay. I used to, but when I heard it was chemically now produced rather than just the plant as well, I've stopped that years
ago. Well, the reason that I bring that up is because it has a higher concentration of what's called, excuse me, calcium oxalate. Or sometimes it's called oxalic acid. But if that stuff comes,
yeah,
that's what the stones. So you don't like to eat potatoes or nuts or spinach, do you?
I eat nuts.
Well, there's your calcium oxalate then.
Yeah, yeah. I try and drink plenty. But yeah, okay. Sounds good.
All right, you got your work cut out for you, buddy.
All right, now I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, that sounds like a winner. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, sir. The phone number is once again open for your phone call. 903-589-8507. Okay, somebody's calling the other one. Oh, here's this one. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Over my 70 some years, I have hit a lot of golf balls, and I think I may have squashed the, I don't know what you call, pads in the lower back. In
the disc.
Disc, yeah. Stem cell shot, may do anything, any good for that?
Well, there's a lot of people that try them, and I've seen it both ways. Some people do really well, and some people, you know, they don't have any response whatsoever. Can I give you a different plan real quick?
Well, yeah.
Okay, there was a study that came out of Holland. Well, I'm sorry, I take that back. It's either Holland or Denmark. If I get those mistaken, please forgive me. That's very offensive, I know. But in this study, they looked at men that had ruptured bulging disc, and all they did was they gave them glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate, and it was able to rehydrate them so they could the disc would increase in height, and they could repair the disc. It just takes about 20 months to 24 months to do it.
Glucosamine?
Yes.
Sulfate.
Yeah, it's very, very commonly found at just almost everywhere. But if you get if you start taking, now this is just my opinion, I would look at what's called MSM, that stands for methyl sulfonylmethane, but it'll just usually say glucosamine. You could do it with just glucosamine all by itself. But the other one is chondroitin sulfate, and then maybe MSM. But what you do is, if you're faithful doing that every day, you're helping the disc repair itself and get back into better working order.
Okay. Cool.
Do you do any exercises like mobility exercises of the lower back or the hips?
I hit golf balls.
Okay. Well, probably you want to look into what's called hip and lumbar spine mobility exercises. You can look that up on YouTube. And that would more specifically address the issue to help get your disc to rehydrate and to heal and repair.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Have a good day, buddy. Bye. The phone number is 903-589-8507. Sometimes I kind of cut to the chase with my comments because I know ultimately we've got to find a way to get the body to heal itself. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Well, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'd like to ask, what is good for fungus? I've tried fungus medicine and...
Well, the phone just broke up. What did you say? What is good for what?
Fungus on the foot, on the toes.
Okay. Okay, I got you. All right, do you mind if I give you just a small amount of background information?
Sure, yes.
Okay. Now, some of this is going to be my opinion, so I'm not expecting everybody to agree with me on this, but let me have a go at this. I would say if I wanted to develop toenail fungus, then what I would do is I would wear socks that are synthetic fibers. Let's just say plastic or chemical fibers. Now, that would be the opposite of wearing socks that were made of, say, wool. So, for example, right now I have some socks on. Let me look at them. Yep, they're purple and green. You can't see them, though. It doesn't. Nobody can see them. But they're made of merino wool. If that's the only thing that you did is start wearing wool socks. Now, merino wool, it's just pretty soft and comfortable. It's not like rough and scratchy. You know, like an old military surplus wool blanket. I mean, they work great, but they're just so rough. They're like sandpaper. So wearing wool socks may actually be of a huge benefit. Now, in my mind, this is actually what I'm fixing to mention. This is probably the number one reason or issue behind toenail fungus. A fungus is always going to grow in the toenails if you cannot deliver enough oxygen to the toenail or to the nail bed. So where there's deficient oxygen, that's where fungus grows. Now, I don't expect that to make logical sense, but fungus does not really want to grow well if you have a rich oxygen environment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so if a person is very, very sedentary, actually, the newest studies are showing that you could smoke a pack of cigarettes a day and that could take 5 years off your life. But I think just about everybody knows that when you smoke cigarettes, your oxygen saturation levels, they drop. You just can't deliver enough oxygen to all the cells. Instead, you start delivering carbon monoxide and carbon that's just toxic to the body. So when a person is very sedentary, usually they just don't quite get enough oxygen and blood flow to the toes. So that's where exercising comes in. Now, to give you some encouragement, I have watched about 15 videos on YouTube, but they're specifically based on the research and the technical data on a technique called slow jogging. And I think there's several books written on it, and I like the numbers. To me, that just, you know what the word, if you believe something, what is the likelihood that you're going to do it if you believe it? Well, it just goes way up, and so I like to look up things that I can buy into and that I can believe in. Just like I've been talking about, drinking water before a meal helps you make more energy. So wouldn't that be easy to do, drinking water before a meal?
Oh, yes. I do that, but like when I drink it about later on, 2 hours, an hour, I need to rush to the restroom and get rid of the water that I drank.
So if you looked up on YouTube a technique called slow jogging, now there would be a very, very safe way to radically improve oxygen to your toes. So, and that may not be the answer that you wanted, but let me say it one more way. There's a condition that's called insulin resistance. It actually leads to diabetes if it goes on long enough. But insulin resistance is probably one of the greatest ways to deprive your toenails or your nail beds from oxygen and nutrition. And so it usually, as a general rule, if you're looking at a man's foot and he has hair on his toes, that's a good sign. If the toenails look nice and bright and clear and clean, that's a good sign. But if he has no hair on his toes, or very little, and it looks like rust deposits around his foot and ankle, and his toenails are thick, that's probably insulin resistance right there. So, for example, if somebody went to the medical doctor and said, you know, could you do like a routine blood test? Well, one of the simplest ones they do is called a comprehensive metabolic panel. And a comprehensive metabolic panel, they'll measure your glucose levels. There's another one called hemoglobin A1C. If that's below 5, then you're in great shape usually. But if it's above 5, you probably have some insulin resistance, which means you got too much sugar in your bloodstream.
Oh, too much sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is an opportunity to improve what you're eating. So if you say, you know what, I'm eating pizza all the time, I'm eating donuts all the time and drinking Cokes, maybe you could switch to water and meat and vegetables and berries, something like that. But here's probably the more direct answer to your question. Do you know what ozone is?
Ozone?
Yeah. Have you ever heard that above America or above Texas, we have a generous layer of ozone, and that protects us from the radiation from the sun?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. We're on the same page then. So oxygen usually has the nomenclature of O or zero. I'm sorry, the large letter O for oxygen. And the number two, that means, well, anyway, ozone is O3. There's three molecules of oxygen. So you probably know what it smells like after a thunderstorm. The air just smells different. It smells like it's been scrubbed or washed clean with water or maybe lightning.
Right.
So they do take ozone and they run it through stuff like safflower oil or olive oil or coconut oil. I've even seen them do it with castor oil. But they ozonate it, which means they're trying to infuse these oils with a rich amount of oxygen. And I promise you, if we took the lid off of some ozonated coconut oil, for example, you would say, wow, that stuff smells so strong. Well, if you were to go to a, I'm not trying to promote this website, and probably there's a chance you've never heard of it before. It's called Amazon.com.
Oh, yes, but I don't use it.
Oh, you're smart then. Me too. I'm just like you. But if you went to Amazon.com just to look at their website and you typed in ozonated coconut oil.
Okay.
What you would see what I'm looking at, and I think a jar of it costs like $24.95. It used to be $14.95, but, you know, that was before COVID, okay? So the ozonated coconut oil is something that you could literally apply to your toenails every single night before you go to bed. And ozonated oils have been shown to be very effective because what you're doing is you're applying oxygen to the nail beds. But if you do your part by cleaning up your diet and exercising and lowering your blood sugar or your hemoglobin A1C and you're putting the ozonated coconut oil, then you just might see those begin to disappear. But you don't have to do anything, I say. You can go take all the prescription drugs for the fungus that you like. The only problem is it's going to destroy your liver. That's, I'm just joking. Not really, but...
No, well, that did not work. I tried one, and it did not work.
Oh, you talk about drugs that are so toxic. The ones that
kill
drugs. Fungus.
You know that those oils that they say fungus cure, those kind.
Yeah.
They don't work.
Well, what
because
I was...
now it's coming on my little toe, on my little... finger.
Yeah, well, we don't, but see,
not,
this
not
is
only on my big one.
But I'm really proud of you for asking about this. This means you want to be a good steward of your body and you want to take good care of yourself. That's amazing. That's good. I love working with people like you. You want to help yourself. But if you'll look into the purchasing ozonated oil, that would be very easy to try. Now, I can tell you there's a ton of other remedies. I mean, everything from wiping apple cider vinegar on your toenails every night. I'm okay with that one, too. I've seen it work. And I've seen people use Vicks Vapor Rub, and that's going to have, the active ingredient from the oil of eucalyptus and camphor. That can work, too, sometimes. But the bottom line is, what you really, really want is you want to really improve your circulation and your blood flow. That's really what this means. This means your body's a little bit dirty on the inside, and we need to kind of clean it up. So does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, definitely, yes. I'll try doing it to starting today, the ozonated oil, coconut ozonated oil.
Yeah.
It can be found in any health store, right?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but you can go in and say, hey, I'm looking for some ozonated oil. Now, I have read studies that they've had great success with one that's called safflower oil, ozonated safflower. It's called safflower. Let me spell it here.
Okay.
Okay, safflower is S-A-F-F-L-O-W-E-R, safflower, like S-A-F and then the word flower.
Okay.
So they have done studies on that, but I've seen great results from ozonated olive oil. And I've never tried ozonated castor oil. But then again, I mean, castor oil is like one of the most amazing remedies that God ever made. Here's your takeaway on castor oil. Wherever you apply castor oil, you increase blood flow and circulation to that area. What that means is healing and life, rejuvenation.
Oh, so that castor oil can be rubbed on your hands, like for the kind of like a bone hurt,
yeah,
like when you make a sudden
absolutely
cotton move, and then it hurts.
Yeah, you sure can. Mm-hmm. You got nothing to lose by trying.
Yes.
You know how the Bible says in the Old Testament that the life of the flesh is found in the blood?
Yes.
Yeah, I always think that's powerful. And so, out of all the things that God himself could have required as a sacrifice, what is the one thing that had the greatest value to him as a sacrifice? It was blood.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be sacrilegious by saying this, but he did not say put the back strap on the altar or the liver or the heart. He didn't. I mean, he always wanted the blood. You remember how the priest would go in once a year and, you know, dip the hyssop in the blood and shake it on the Holy of Holies or sprinkle it? Is probably not the right word. You know, sprinkle it.
Yeah. Well, Jesus did the right thing. He sacrificed his blood for our sins, so that's what we're cleaning.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, that's the only way that we can ever be washed clean of all of our sins. We have to apply the blood of Jesus Christ, don't we?
Yes, definitely, yes.
Oh, man, what a wreck the world would be if we didn't have Jesus. It'd be so much worse. Oh, you're welcome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your phone call. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. And I love your program.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I have to cash it at outside because I don't get it in the house. I have to get it in the car.
So you're talking to me from your car in the driveway?
Yes.
Good. You're one dedicated woman. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Yeah, sometimes a metal building or a house can totally block. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Dr. Morgan, I listen all the time. I just want to make a quick note. I know you've got other people with more important things.
They're not more important than you.
Well, this is just information I think you need. Vicks has taken eucalyptus out of everything. Used to have like Hall's menthol eucalyptus cough drops and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone has eucalyptus in anything except a...
I went to the dollar store the other day and they had it right there on the shelf. It contained eucalyptus. I looked at the label. I don't know what the brand was. It probably wasn't Vicks if it was at the dollar store. But it said it contained eucalyptus.
Well, then I'm glad to hear that because I've used Halls since I was a kid many, many years ago, and they were just always good for sniffles and sore throats and things, and I don't know what to do. I hear that there's a brand called Zand you can buy at some of the vitamin shop.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just want to drop that on you, but thank you for telling me.
Yeah. And you know what? Don't ever get hung up on a brand name. So if I said Vicks Vapor Rub, if you look at the label and it doesn't say it contains eucalyptus, that's what I'm going to recommend. You get the one that has eucalyptus and camphor, because those would be the active ingredients that might have antifungal properties. I'm glad you called and clarified all that.
Well, thank you for you clarifying for me also. So good luck. God bless. We'll talk another time. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. That would be 903-589-8507. Good morning. How are you today?
Yes, good morning.
Well, thanks for your call.
I had a quick question on how the body makes use of over-the-counter halogens, specifically the 1, 2, and 3.
Well, what happens is, to make use of the collagen that you buy over the counter, you have to open the jar. I'm being a smart aleck right now. You can tell, can't you? But what you do is, if you stir it, some of the collagens on the label, it'll say collagen hydrosylate. And what they're saying is that particular form of collagen, it just blends up really easily in water. So some people put it in their coffee, or some people add to tea or water. So as long as you drink it down, it's very, very easy for the body to absorb and assimilate.
Okay.
And as a human being ages, usually you tend to lose collagen. So you're trying to replace the very building blocks to repair your body.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, good deal.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you for your phone call, sir. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line open at 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. My husband went to the dermatologist this past week, and they did a biopsy, and they've called him that they're going to have to go deeper and wider with that place. It's cancerous.
Did they say which form of cancer?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead with your question. I interrupted you.
No. I was just wondering what we could do, if anything, to help his face.
Well, it's kind of ironic or interesting that the gentleman that just called about collagen. So, this is probably I'm getting sidetracked slightly, but there is a Hispanic grocery store here in town, and I've been in there before, where I watched them take these huge, it looked like 4 feet by 6 feet sheets of skin from a pig and dip them down in the fryers to make like pork rinds. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I'm not recommending your husband eat pork rinds, but skin is very, very rich in collagen. So, for example, if you were to cook a whole chicken in the oven, I don't know if people do that anymore, but I was raised that way. I thought it was really cool. But if you eat the crispy skin and the chicken meat is actually on the bone, then you're going to get as much collagen from that as you possibly can. That would be compared against a boneless, skinless chicken breast. So if you eat the skin of the chicken, you get a lot more collagen. But collagen is what the skin on his face is made of. It's made of pure collagen and protein. Mm-hmm. And so there's two or three things I want him to think about. If he's trying to create the very best possible circumstances to allow his body to heal from the surgery, if he starts consuming collagen, like there's one form I mentioned earlier, it's called collagen hydrosylate. And when you see the word hydrosylate, that usually is an indication. It doesn't clump up, it stirs in very easy. And it's very easy for the body to assimilate, so consuming collagen might be a really good idea. Now, this is, I'm telling you that first because that's probably more precise, but you know what really popped in my head the moment you said that? I thought about one particular fruit. You know how we have apples that grow everywhere here in America? Well, if you go to South America or other parts of the world closer to the equator, they have mangoes. But I've always found that mangoes are so good at helping the skin to heal. So does he like mangoes by chance?
Oh, I'm sure he does. He likes anything.
So he's easy to please, right?
He is.
Man, you got a great husband. He must have a wonderful award-winning attitude.
He does. He's the best.
When is the last time he's complained about your service and delivery of mangoes? No, I'm joking. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I do not remember the name of the compound, but I know what it's found in. It's found in strawberries. And so strawberries are very interesting when it comes to healing the skin and repairing the skin. The other thing that pops in my head is the use of what's called green tea. So drinking green tea, mangoes, strawberries, collagen, skin. If you cooked him a steak, if it had a bone attached to it, like a T-bone, or a ribeye steak that had a bone, now that's where you're going to get some rich, good quality collagen. See, collagen is really an interesting topic, meaning your body needs it, and where it needs it the most, that's where it's going to go first. So if he's had a surgical procedure, if he consumes collagen, I don't know how it does it, though, ma'am. I couldn't even tell you, but it's going to go right there to where it's most needed. So I think that's very interesting. Now, you're going to get vitamin C when you eat stuff like strawberries and mangoes, but vitamin C is very useful to helping to mend and repair tissues that have been damaged.
Okay.
Part of me would say I'm really curious about the use of castor oil topically. I have a book on my shelf in the office. It's from 1944. And you know what the truth is? Probably nobody would want it. I think I paid 10 cents for it like at a church thrift store like 4 or 5 years ago. But there's a chapter in there about it's called The Annals of Orthopedic Surgery. And you're probably thinking, why would you want a book like that? Well, I found an explanation for it. Was a standard operating procedure back in 1944 of all medical doctors when they did, let's just say, surgery to repair a damaged disc in the lower back. So if they had to take their scalpel and cut the skin, all the nursing staff, especially in the surgical suite, they were understanding orders that they would apply castor oil. They would pack, you know, bandages with castor oil right over the surgical incision. But what I find interesting was they said the number one reason was to prevent a staph infection. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? But historically, I love the use of wheat germ oil or castor oil when it comes to preventing excessive scar tissue formation. So we're talking about these things to give your husband a chance to heal. Now, there's one more thing that I have in mind. Do you mind if I share it with you?
Sure.
Okay. If I go too long on this, just tell me to cool my jets and make it short and sweet, and then I'll do that. But I have...
Wait, let me ask you something, right?
Sure.
Did you say to apply the castor oil or the wheat germ oil directly to the...
Well, that's what people... Well, I'm not recommending that, but that's what every medical doctor used to do, you know, almost 100 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to tell you to do that, but I'm just telling you what they recommended back in 1944. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, so I don't think I'm a morbid person. I don't.
No.
Okay,
no.
But I have actually read a lot about a skin condition called leprosy.
Oh, my word.
I know. And see, here's what I want to tell you. Whatever you do with this conversation, do not go to the internet and type in pictures of leprosy. Just don't do it. I can't get those images out of my mind. But anyway, but one of the reasons I studied that is because, I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but let's just say it this way. You've read the Bible when they talk about lepers, haven't you?
I have.
Do you remember that one story where there were 10 lepers and they came across Jesus, the Son of God? Do you remember that story?
I do.
That has never made sense to me because only one of them came back to... Wait, what did the one leper come back to Jesus and tell him?
He'd say thanks.
Yes. Why did the other nine not come back to the Lord and tell him thank you? But anyway, enough of that topic, but... One of the things that I've researched or read or studied, that's probably more appropriate, is the use of one particular unique herb. It's called Gotu Kola. That's spelled G-O-T-U, and then Kola is K-O-L-A. You ever heard of that before?
I have not.
Well, Gotu Kola is very unique in that it can help damaged tissues of the skin to mend and to heal faster. Sometimes I've heard some of my buddies at the seminars call it Botox in a bottle. It helps. I didn't call it Botox. I'm just repeating them because I find it kind of comical. But Gotu Kola is the mender of the body when something's broken. A lot of people use it to treat anxiety, you know, when they just feel horrible on the inside all the time. But Gotu Kola is probably the rare herb that has some degree of success in treating leprosy. So instead of having there's no easy way to say this. If you have portions of the skin become necrotic and die, you know, like gangrene and fall off, well, Gotu Kola has some ability to help treat that.
Gotu Kola, is it liquid?
It can be, but it usually comes in the form of either a tablet or a capsule.
Okay.
The other name is called Asiatica Centella, which I wish I hadn't told you that. Just Gotu Kola is all you need to know.
Gotukola.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. But that's what you want if somebody has a, do you know what keloids are? Yeah. Like if you had darker skin and you tried to pierce your own ears, but instead of it working right, you develop like a lump of scar tissue right there where the piercing was supposed to take place of the earlobe.
Okay.
Or if they had a cut or a scar, there might be a bunch of lumpy scar tissue. Those are called keloids. But there's even studies showing that if taking go-to cola after a cut or a surgical incision, it greatly helps reduce the amount of keloid scar tissue formation. See, things can either, they can mend correctly or they can mend incorrectly. Does that make sense?
It does.
And the thing of it is, when you have a procedure done, you really only have one shot at healing properly. I kind of tell that to people when they have like a knee replacement and they're just, you know, not really on board with taking care of themselves. Have you figured out yet that you can't force a person to be a good steward of their body?
Right.
After 36 years of doing this, I have just now figured that out. I'm kind of slow.
They need to teach that in second grade. Start taking care of your body.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Maybe even when they're 2 years old.
Right.
Boy, I tell you what, you're right about that. Can I tell you what happened the other day?
Sure.
All I did was look out my window, and a woman got out of her car, and she took a baby bottle, and she unscrewed the top, you know, with the plastic nipple on the end of it for the baby to... And she took a zero-calorie Powerade. It was blue. And she poured that in the baby bottle.
Hmm.
Now, guess who she handed the baby bottle to?
Oh, yeah.
The baby. And I just think, what? You got to be kidding me. I've told the story many times. There was a woman at a grocery store that was pouring Pepsi directly into a baby bottle, and I walked right past her, and I told her, I said, ma'am, that is like the word. So she said a word to me that I can't repeat on the radio, nor do I need to, but it just never works out when you just doesn't.
All right.
Now, the other day when the lady, there was a woman that had a manic schizophrenic episode, and she ran out in front of my office, and she ran into the middle of the highway and laid down in the middle of the road so cars could run over her.
No.
Yeah. What do you think I did?
I don't know.
I was the traffic police. I put my hands up just making sure the cars would stop. I mean, I didn't grab her or anything. She was like all over the place, like she wanted to die. All I did was just put my hands up to stop traffic. You know what else happened the other day? There was a woman walking across the parking lot, and I noticed that the behavior was just real, you know, bizarre, and she looked like she was terrified and scared. Well, this man starts running after her, and he catches her, and he yanks her really hard, and it's like, oh, no. So what I did was I was a good 10 yards away from him. I went out to him, and I said, ma'am, do you want me to call the police? And they were, like, shocked, and they both said no, and she ran one direction, he ran the other. So, you know, you just can't get involved in all that stuff. I mean, I have so many stories. It's, sorry.
Right.
Hate to reveal too much about the city that I work in. But anyway, we're just living in a difficult world, aren't we?
We are. We sure are.
Well, have your husband drink a lot of water to rehydrate his skin, okay?
I sure will. And thank you so much, Dr. Morgan. We appreciate you so very
much. Well, I appreciate you for calling and for listening to the station. You're so wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Okay, the phone number here at the station, we got time for at least another phone call. 903-589-8507. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, sir. I hope you're well.
I am. Thank you for asking. I'm glad you're doing okay.
I have a relative. She's 94. She was recently put in the hospital. She had a stroke.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and the doctors, my daughter takes care of her. She's her grandmother.
Okay.
The doctors, they said that she was taking, I think it's Eliquist. Is that the blood thinner thing?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, well,
you mean that she was taking it before the stroke or after the stroke?
Yes. Yeah, she was told to take it, but she started having nosebleeds real bad and often.
Oh, man. Well, what does that tell you? That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes. So she quit taking it, and then the doctor told my daughter, well, the reason she had the stroke is because, you know, you wouldn't make her take the medicine.
Oh, my goodness. He is so right. I mean, I'm sorry, but the Eliquist did nothing to have a toxic overdose to cause her nose to bleed all the time.
Right.
Can you tell when I'm sarcastic? isn't that yes. Okay? Yeah. So he blamed her for it. I got you. All right.
Yeah. So, is there anything I can suggest to them, or that, you know, if it were you, what would you do?
Okay. Well, let me answer it that way. I love the way that you phrased that question. So, if it were me, yes. I'm not telling anybody else what to do. What I would do is I would make sure that I consumed an adequate amount of a substance called rutin. That's R-U-T-I-N. Sometimes it's known as an analog of quercetin, but rutin is one of the most excellent substances that God has ever designed to prevent strokes and blood clots.
Okay.
It also has this amazing ability to strengthen the lining of the arteries in the capillary bed. So let me phrase it this way. If I were to touch a person's foot and I was feeling of their skin, it felt really, really cold, and their toes were almost purple. And
yes.
It's the middle of summer. It's 97 degrees, but they still feel like that they're shivering cold and they've got to cover up. And then I look at their legs and I go, oh, my goodness, the blood vessels are breaking. Well, I know that I want to strengthen that. And that's where rutin may have be of great, great benefit to her.
Okay.
So rutin, I think I use a product called Ceruta Plus, but it's probably the highest concentration of buckwheat extract that I know of. And they also incorporate what's called adrenal cytosol extract. So we're talking about things here that can actually promote rejuvenation and better repair. Now, I'm not trying to be negative, but I don't know of any pharmaceutical drug that actually promotes rejuvenation and healing and repair. Maybe except testosterone therapy. But then again, that's got side effects. I mean, you double your risk of having a heart attack when you start taking that stuff.
Right.
So that would be one of the two or three things I would look at. Is there any way that we can kind of get her outside into the sunlight?
We're working on it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I realize that's, and it may be that she just really can't get up and move a lot. Is that true?
She is afraid of falling to where she won't get up and walk.
Oh, okay. So that's mainly that resides with her. Like, I'm terrified that if I fall, I'm going to break a bone or something or injure myself.
Yes. Yes.
Well, bless her heart.
Yes.
And, okay. Well, I tell you what, I'm sure rooting for her, but your daughter must be like a most amazing person taking care of her like that.
She is.
I mean,
who else does she have
to take care of her if it's not your daughter?
Yes, she has no one.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then, God bless your daughter and God bless her.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope all that helps.
It will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we are officially out of time. Lord willing, I will be back with you this time next week.